Morning, everyone. This is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association, joined by our friends from Iowa Total Care today on October 13th, 2021. It's been a couple months since our last call, our September one. We canceled due to a scheduling conflict, but we're able to take questions and provide answers as those were submitted last month. So we'll jump into the call this month for October and look at, like we normally do, some of the informational letters that have come out over the last 30 days or so, and highlight anything that would be of importance to you all and the membership of IHCA. So, and obviously, since we haven't had a call officially since August, as part of the informational letters that came out around that time, I just want to make sure that we touch on all those rates notices that came out. And so, obviously, the nursing facility rates came out in early August for rates beginning 7/1. So those have been released and sent out to providers and MCOs for application into their rate systems. Home health LUPA rates also came out at that time. So you'll be able to see what rates are applicable to your counties based on that more recent LUPA rate update. And then a third one was the waiver rates. And I want to touch on this one a little bit more because it's been a while since we've received waiver rate increases. What happened was a 3.55% increase was given to waiver services. And so how that applies to you is what rate you had set for your waiver services on June 30th would then receive a 3.55% increase, and that is your new rate effective 7/1. If you did not have a rate, or if you're a new provider, a new waiver provider, Chapter 79 in the Iowa Administrative Code lists out what those waiver rate maximums are. And so you would obviously work with your MCO to determine what that is, but the waiver rate maximums are listed in Chapter 79 for providers who did not have a rate prior or on 6/30 of 21. And so I wanted to touch on that. I've gotten a few questions from providers about that. You'll see Chapter 79 and you'll see a rate there, and you'll see that the rate that you're getting paid is different than that because it's a 3.55% increase from what you had as a rate on 6/30 of 21. So I just wanted to talk through that quick. Other informational letters that have been released, and I think we've talked about it before, but at least I know we've had it in the bulletin. We've had it on our provider calls. Is there are Medicaid town halls that are going on. They've had one, I know, in September. They've had one in October. And so we would just encourage you, there's an information letter on Medicaid town halls that we'd encourage you to look at what this does is it includes. I know the MCOs are on that call. I know that the Department of Human Services leadership team and other individuals are on that call. And it's a place for you as providers to be able to ask questions of DHS or of the MCOs and receive answers either through from the MCOs or from DHS or both through an official like Q&A document or through a specific outreach to your email. So I would encourage you to look for that information letter. I'd give you the number, but for some reason, my list is not including that information letter number. So Julie, if you have that, if you remember what that is, feel free to put that in the chat or mention it. There's an article on 2266, it's mRNA vaccine third dose. So as far as that would be for, my understanding is immunocompromised individuals who need a third dose. This is not necessarily a booster informational letter. It would be for those who need a third dose because of some immunocompromised situations. IL-2270 is the 2021 annual provider training survey. So this was a survey that went out allowing providers to kind of rank topics that they want IME to cover in their annual provider training, which will likely be at the towards the end of this year. And so I think those surveys have actually come due by now, but it's worth noting that there will be a provider training, annual provider training from IME coming up that we can probably expect some follow-up from them on. And I think that that's it as far as informational letters at this point. So I'll turn it over to Iowa Total Care for any opening comments or any, if you guys have any updates that you'd like to present today. Jeannie, I'll let you lead off if you'd like.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brandon. Well, you gave me a great segue in terms of our state partner and state training. So we are working diligently with them to finalize dates for the annual training coming up. So we will be I believe that IME is shoring up that information. We'll be getting that out to all of us soon. So we look forward to hearing you for those meetings, whether they are virtual or in person. I think they are deciding at this point which direction they will be going. So we will certainly be ready to send out information, or we will be in collaboration with IME on that as well. So, and that's the only update I have. So if we want to jump into questions, Brandon?
Absolutely. And so we'll start with the one that we had submitted ahead of time. And so this is a home health question. And it says, ITC is reprocessing claims in some cases over 6 times per claim and attempting to recoup funds that we've worked collaboratively on to resolve in August of 2021. So this was specific to this provider working with their provider services rep. It appears that the projects that are started are reprocessing original claims and not reprocessing the corrected claims. And this is maybe their explanation as to why they think that it's happening multiple times on the same claims. Is this a known problem, and could it explain why some claims are reprocessed so often? Sorry.
Michelle, you want to take that?
All right. Sorry. Can you guys hear me?
We can.
Okay. Sorry. I have you muted. Yes. This is Michelle with ITC. I reached out to the provider rep and I was trying to see what was going on with their claims. I started a little bit of a deep dive into the specific provider's claims. It looks like in the August of 2021, there was a recoup letter from an old recovery project that went out at the end of August. And so they would have gotten the letter in beginning of September. And a lot of their claims that had been recouped on recently, those were never disputed. So I'm looking into those, but those were due to an old recoup project that never got disputed. So I think that's probably part of their issue. But I am in talks with the PR rep and trying to get all their stuff resolved individually for them.
Thanks, Michelle. And I guess kind of as a follow-up for a more general perspective, they mentioned that reprocessing is happening constantly on the original claim and then not on claims that have maybe been corrected in the past. Is that how that should flow, or how should that work? Because if it's correcting an old claim, then I don't know that it's always going to capture the correct information, if that's making any sense.
Yeah, so the new corrected claim should replace the original claim as long as they did the correct bill type and resubmission code type. But these were really, really old claims from like over a year ago. Actually, some of them were 2019 claims. So that's probably what caused part of the issue, is that this recoup letter and it started recouping on. And then that's kind of why I'm going to deep dive into all their stuff. And then anything that was an original claim that was paid, I'm going to recover on. And then anything that was a new corrected claim, which got like paid at zero, that I will get fixed, and we'll get those new claims processed and those old ones corrected
Okay, thank you. Jeannie, we'll go into the chat now. And I have obviously some messages that were sent directly to me, and then I have some that were you all have probably been able to see or maybe even respond to at this point. So the first one I have was actually a direct send to me, and they're saying that this would be nursing facilities. Many of our facilities are still reprocessing for corrected 7-1 rates. Most of them say paid, but have no paid date. Can you tell us if we need to reach out to the rep and have them push through? If not, when can we expect these to finish processing and paying?
Yeah, if they are over 30 days, I would say to reach out to your PR rep and we'll get those pushed through.
Thank you. This question is in regards to the $300 per day COVID-19 add-on. So ITC is recouping the $300 COVID bonus payment or COVID add-on, COVID rate relief from claims from last year. These were from residents who were positive and that facilities could get the $300 for 10 days over the daily rate. Is there, do we know why this recoupment is happening at this point?
I'm not aware of any recoupments happening for that, as long as those claims were filed with the DR condition code showing that they were positive for COVID. I would recommend them reach out to the rep and we can work with the rep on that and see what's going on.
Okay. So I think, Angela, I would, one, ensure that you have the DR code on your claims, as well as I want to say that a COVID-19 diagnosis code maybe needed to be on there as well, just to ensure that, you know, it was clear that this person had COVID. But yeah, I would definitely follow up to that, especially since it doesn't sound like they're aware of a recoupment happening across the board on COVID relief rate claims. When does ITC plan to reprocess claims for July and August 21 that were processed with the wrong fee schedule? I was told that these were being auto-processed and we would receive payment within 2 weeks. That was on September 10th, and this person still is owed quite a bit of money. I'll let you answer. I want to make the comment, like we always do when we have rate reprocessing and claims changes or claims rate changes, ensure that your billed amount is greater than your new rate, because if it is not, you will need to resubmit the claims on your own. If your billed amount was higher than your new rate, those claims should automatically reprocess to the updated amount. And so I know that we have questions on this, I think, you know, every year or every other year, because some people submit at their actual contracted rate or their actual Medicaid rate. Other providers will submit a customary charge, which is what we would recommend and what I think what the department recommends and what the MCOs also recommend, is submitting a usual and customary charge in excess of those rates. So that way, any reprocessing that is done is not a manual process on your behalf, but rather an automatic reprocess through the payer. And so I wanted to mention that first, and then I'll turn it over to Iowa Total Care for any comments on those fee schedules being inputted and claims being reprocessed.
Yep. Some claims were being reprocessed this week, went out today, and then others will be going out by the beginning of next week. So they have started cycling going out.
Awesome.
So some people should start to see them immediately, and then some would be by the beginning of next week.
Okay. Thanks, Michelle. This question is on appeals. When I send appeals for claims being recouped in error, the letter says to send a copy of the claim in dispute. Now they received a letter from ITC saying that the claim submitted was not a standardized form. And is this going to void my appeal?
I'd say for them to reach out to the PR rep because I don't believe there is a standardized form when they do an appeal. So I'm not aware of that being an issue.
Okay. Thank you. I see Michelle's comment in there. This is a question on IMPA. Anyone know when IMPA will be up and running again? I did get a notice from a provider yesterday that IMPA has been down at least since Friday is what they had thought. I'm not aware of when IMPA will be back up. I don't know if anyone on the MCO side or on Iowa Total Care side, do you have any thoughts or do you have any insight as to when that will be up and running again?
Not to my knowledge, unless anyone of my team has heard otherwise, I am not familiar with that. No.
Okay. I thought that was kind of going to be a long shot. I'll reach out to the department and see, since that's their product for you all, unless I thought I heard someone maybe chiming in there. Yeah, I'll reach out to the department then and see when they plan to have that up again, because obviously that's would be a problem. As you have any CP changes for your residents, that is where you go to look at those. And so that being down is a problem. This says our rep no longer works for ITC. I've been told to reach out to the provider services, which I have with no success. So if the provider no longer, if they, their rep no longer works there, I'll submit a link in the chat here. So that way we all are working along the same shared facts on the provider reps and where they're located. Thoughts,
Brandon?
Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. We update our map accordingly for the region 3. Rachel has pursued other opportunities, and we are in the process of replacing her position. And until that is complete, at any time, I would recommend that you go out to our website and review our map. In a situation such as this, we did update our map to share that for anyone in Region 3, was to reach out to itcregions@iowatotalcare.com. And I have put that in the chat for your review. Additionally, I would strongly suggest that you do not keep a copy of our provider relations map, because once it is updated, that link will only take you to the old map. So always check back to the new information that we have posted on our website.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeannie.
Of course.
I see a comment back regarding the 300 from another provider. So that's helpful. Does ITC have a fax number or email specifically for appeals like Amerigroup has?
We do not, yeah.
And this is me not seeing, I don't know how the process is supposed to flow. So if a provider does have something that they want to appeal, where does that flow through the provider rep, or how does that work? This is just me not knowing, I guess.
They can submit those.
So when,
go ahead, Michelle.
Sorry, go, Jeannie.
No, you go. You're the expert.
I was going to say, if it's like they're appealing a recovery or recoupment, then it is mailed, like they mail a letter into an address in Farmington. I think they do the same thing when they appeal a payment on their EOP as well.
Okay. Thanks, Michelle. I have claims that were corrected years ago that now got recouped again. In the original dispute, it was corrected, but instead of putting the client participation in claim participation, ITC lowered the provider great. Now they're trying to take the CP again.
I would say to reach out to the provider rep on that one. We can work with them and see what's going on.
Okay.
Wondering if it was just a really old recovery project, like the one that I found for the one that was put on the agenda. So,
okay.
I mean, it was asleep, so it might have affected a couple of providers that I just found this morning. Yep.
Okay. This is a question. I'm still having an issue with the L6 code. This is a same client that they've been working with for a long time. We had it fixed and now it's happening again. They paid for one home health visit and denied the rest because of L6. Just received it yesterday. Should I wait until it's sweep again? And ideas why this keeps happening after it was fixed.
Reach out to the rep because I've added quite a few TPL exceptions codes to CPT codes to our TPL exceptions list. Let me know if something's not working right, but as far as I know, I've added it, unless there's maybe one that I missed, but as far as I know, I've added them all that, and there shouldn't be any current L6s for home health.
Thank you, Michelle. This question is, are the new 10-1 rates loaded into the ITC system yet, and if not, when will they be?
Yep, they're loaded into the system. Because we got them really early.
Yeah, but I think we got them at the same time as the 7-1s, didn't we?
Right. Yeah, they came pretty quickly. Yep. Right. Almost right within the same week, I think. So, okay. Yep, they are loaded.
Awesome. This is another question on L6, which I'm not sure if the answer will be the same or not, but they're saying they've claimed denying for L6. Actually, and this is home health. I just wanted to clarify. I just got a letter from a different month for the patient as well for a take back due to having other insurance. I've sent the claim number to my PR rep multiple times, but I have not seen anything happen to my claims. There's only one patient I'm having issues with. And I think that's a different person than submitted the first question. And so I probably the same. I would probably reach back out to the PR rep again. Would maybe be my suggestion if you haven't heard anything back, Rachel. As far as the appeal and the standardized form, it says my letter says only standardized red claim forms that are printed in Flint IOC are red. And Joe, I'm not sure what that even means. Anyone from Iowa Total Care know what that means?
I don't.
No clue, Brandon.
Is the provider submitting claims by paper on like a photocopy of a claim form? It's really the only thing that I can think of that they're maybe not submitting claims on a correct form. However, we should not be receiving any claims on paper claim form. They have to be submitted electronically. So that might be part of the issue as well, if they're trying to submit paper and not electronically.
Joe, I'll let you comment back. And these were on the appeal, he says. Huh. Is the appeal, I and this is me again not knowing, is the appeal a letter that is sent, or is the appeal there like a standardized form that an appeal needs to go on?
It's just a letter sent from the provider.
Okay. Is there a way for providers to see if ITC has received the appeal via mail on the provider portal? Some of these claims we are appealing are over 2 years old and not available to see online anymore.
Our portal team has taken that information back. Many providers have expressed that interest and has been shared with our portal team. So we'll keep working on upgrades as we are able to do so.
Okay. Yeah, I have heard that as well from providers, just clarity or seeking clarity, I guess, around when we go through either the dispute process or the appeal process, because we've maybe received a recoupment letter. We'll send our information in disputing it, and then have no idea where it goes or what's happening. If it's been received, I guess, even is another thing. So it's just kind of we're just in a wait and see mode, which doesn't feel very good when you've received a letter trying to take back a lot of money. And so just trying to, I think providers just trying to be proactive and make sure that, you know, we're providing everything that we can and need to ensure that funds aren't taken back erroneously, when they receive these notices. So
Brandon, I just, one of my staff, that's why I love this team so much. They support everyone on the team and myself and our leadership as we go up. I received information, so a great notation from the recoup and the appeals information is that it depends whether you're talking dispute or appeals. Those are two different items. Recoups would be a written dispute based on the letter that you received, and appeals are using the dispute form on the portal page.
Okay, so there is a form on the portal for those.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And I see you put that in the chat, so.
Yes, right there, Miss Linda Farrell. Thank you so much.
thanks, Linda.
My knight in shining armor right there.
There you go. Okay. That is what I have in the chat and through email at this point. I'll give it another couple minutes here in case anyone has any other questions they want to throw in the chat. Otherwise, you might get around, you know, 25 minutes of this call back before we flip to Amerigroup at 11:30. So this is me just killing airtime, waiting for questions to come in through the chat if you have any. We look forward to seeing them.
Brandon, we were going to have Dustin join us about a few minutes from now. Is there, we could take any questions back if it has to do with CareBridge or just if Justin happens to join us before we get off air. But okay. Just let folks know that Justin was going to join us. He had a conflict the first half hour, but so far I haven't seen any specific information. And if we disperse, we can always send him that information as well. So.
Okay. I do see a comment in here, not EVV related, but they're seeing application of client participation to co-insurance claims still, and which obviously shouldn't be happening. So any thoughts on that? It must be I think it's a known issue we've talked about before, but any additional thoughts on that?
Michelle?
I know Hillary usually talks on that topic, but.
She does. Unfortunately, Miss Hillary was a little under the weather today. So Michelle was stepping in for her today. So Michelle, are you still with us?
I'm sorry, my phone cut out, Brandon. Can you repeat that?
Yeah. The question about co-insurance or client participation being applied to co-insurance claims. It appears that that's still happening, at least for this provider. Any thoughts on when that will be fixed?
The ones that I've seen were manually done. So I would say reach out to the rep and we'll just make sure that, because from what I've seen, it was getting taken out twice. It was putting in the co-insurance spot twice in the two different areas. So it's being applied twice, but reach out to the rep and we'll just make sure. But I know that was a manual error. It wasn't a system error, the ones that I've seen.
Okay. And I know if you're, I don't know if you're following along in the chat or not, Michelle, or anyone from ITC, but there's additional detail. If it's applied to the coinsurance, then it doesn't apply correctly to the room and board claims. And depending on, I guess if it's used, some of it's used for coinsurance, that would leave an amount, a smaller amount, and then likely overpaid to providers. Laura, I don't know if that's what you're referring to, if you're talking about an overpayment on those room and board claims because of the CP being taken out of coinsurance. Yep, that sounds right. So, I mean, obviously, you know, underpaid, overpaid.
Right, right.
Ideally, they're just paid right, but I would think that if they're being overpaid, we might, I guess we'd want to, you know, catch that and make sure that it's accurate from an MCO
perspective. Right, we want to catch if they're being underpaid too, obviously.
Yeah.
Both
yeah.
ways. But yes, reach out to the rep and let them know, and we will work with the rep and get that corrected.
This question is on rate changes. They submitted reconsiderations on the 15th of September. Many of them have reprocessed, but some are still saying paid with no date. Since we're almost at 30 days, should I just reach out to my rep for that?
Yep, right. Yep, once they hit 30 days, go ahead and reach out to the rep. Correct.
This is a comment on waiver claims. It says, at least this is home health. How Total Care reprocessed all their waiver claims going back to 2020, repaying them all at the billed charge when they were already paid correctly. They sent the waiver rates, but they can't get ITC to reprocess them correctly and pay them at the waiver rates again. And now they have a bunch of overpayments because they used the customary charge amount. Is that a known issue that, I don't know if that was global or if that's maybe narrowed down to this, an issue with this provider specifically? Is that something you guys are aware of?
I think it might just be this provider specifically. I would say have them reach out to the rep and we can see, because I'm wondering how much over they were billing. Now we can get that corrected.
Do you have any thoughts or suggestions as to like why something like that might happen? Because I mean, we obviously recommend to do the customary charge, so that way with rate changes, it's just an auto reprocess. But thoughts as, I mean, that would obviously make a provider not want to submit customary charges if they start paying and overpaying at those rates, knowing that those funds are going to have to go back. So do you have any thoughts on that?
The ones that I've seen have all been manually processed. They weren't done systems. So we've been doing education within my team on how to correctly price claims based on our fee schedules and stuff. So we have been doing some education with our team, but the ones I've noticed have been manually priced.
Okay.
And I think because of like the 3.55%, they weren't going to make the providers submit corrected claims for the increase. And so they were going to reprocess those for that change at the higher rates. They didn't have to send corrected claims for those.
Okay. Okay. Well, I do not see any more questions, but I just saw one come through. I had that happen as well on my homemaker claims. They paid the billed charge. It was before CareBridge. Again, I let my provider up know, and they haven't seen anything come through yet fixing that. And so I guess if it's a manual thing, I don't know. I guess I'm not sure, and maybe you, Iowa Total Care, know what kind of timelines if a provider submits information in about claims that maybe been overpaid or underpaid, how long until you actually see a result from that outreach?
Usually our standard timelines are, if it's something that needs to be system corrected, we have 30 days to do the configuration and then 30 days to do the project. But in this instance, if we're notified that it was a wrong, you know, was priced manually incorrect, we say 30 days to do the project.
Okay. And this next comment, has been months since we notified our provider rep of this. Yeah, I would also say, you know, if you, and I think I've said this before, but on that link that I submitted with the provider reps, if you are not receiving a response or something like that, the second page has other individuals, other leadership individuals, has Jeannie on there, many different people. So I would obviously wait a proper amount of time, but then if you're not receiving a response, I would then escalate it kind of through the others and you know, make other provider relations individuals involved as well. And I don't know, Jeannie, if you have any comments on that, or
I do know. I do, Brandon. Thank you. So Michelle's team and the PR team, the claims team, we have a local team and we have a national team. And some of you may have heard this information prior, so I apologize. But we have a local claims team that does process the claims that we can process locally as much as possible. And then we also, when our claims team is unable to process locally, such as large projects and projects in general, that is sent to our corporate team. And we're as good as the information provided to us. We go with the slated times that we know that the claims are supposed to be processed, which as Michelle has shared, you know, within the 30 days, and then they get scheduled at our corporate level for the project, which could be another 60 days. So what occurs then is, like for today, for example, when Michelle has shared to please reach out to your provider reps, absolutely 100%, please do that. We will take that information. We will submit that through what we use as a SharePoint to our claims folks and work in collaboration. Then our claims folks take that information over, research it, and get back to us on what those next steps are. When that information then comes back to us, we share that with our provider community, such as yourselves, and we provide the estimated time of arrival for those claims processing times that is provided from our claims team. Sometimes things don't always go according to Hoyle, and it does take additional time. So we do apologize for that. Sometimes there are projects that we may begin and understand that they take a little bit longer than anticipated, or find opportunities and they may be delayed. And so therefore that's why they take a little bit additional amount of time at best. So, but we do our best to ensure that those projects are on time. But as Michelle can attest to, sometimes after they send that off to our corporate team, sometimes it does take a little bit longer. So Michelle, do you have anything to add to as far as the process is concerning what you see from a claims perspective when that information comes back to you to share with provider relations?
Well, and sometimes like a claim will have fallout for whatever reason, like it will have flagged as duplicate because there was a previous claim submitted. And we don't know claims fallout until after we reprocess them through back through the system. So sometimes the fallout can delay it a little bit too, for whatever reason that it had fallout. So sometimes that will slow it down a little bit too as well.
If there are going to be delays, is there any way a provider can be notified that this is still being looked at, it's going to take longer than what we had anticipated, or any kind of follow-up to that regard?
In a perfect world, Brandon, that would be our opportunities to do so. But if that were the case, we'd probably be sending out more alerts and emails than we actually had time in a day to do. What we do is keep the information up to date on our configuration file. So, but I will take that suggestion back and share that with my senior leadership.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Absolutely.
One other question that came in is asking about reprocessed claims. It says when ITC reprocesses claims, they take back 100% of the payment originally paid, and then it takes another, in this case, 6 to 8 weeks to pay the correct amount. And it's asking why doesn't the reprocess all happen on the same remit instead of taking back the money and providers having to wait, having it all occur on the same remit.
That's kind of along the lines of fallout. So if we take it back and then it redenies, when we reprocess it, it redenies for a new code. That's kind of where fallout comes into play. Usually it's within, it's not always on the same remit, but it's usually within like a couple of days of the other remit. It, in a perfect world, yes, it would show up on the exact same remit. And a lot of times it does. But yeah, like the fallout or a couple of days delayed, depending on our check run system on how that stuff goes out, can delay it a couple of days, or if fallout delays it a little bit longer.
Okay. I do not currently see any more questions in the chat. As far as EVV goes, Jeannie, you made a comment or about Justin joining, and maybe he's on, maybe he's not. I haven't heard a lot of feedback as far as ITC goes regarding CareBridge and the EVV process, which is good, I suppose. And I think the providers on this call, if you do have anything, feel free to put that in the chat. But I have not gotten feedback for ITC regarding EVV at this point.
That is good to hear, Brandon. I know that Justin works very intently with CareBridge, and anytime that we have provider concerns, we definitely work through those as quickly as possible. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, Brandon, thank you so much. I'd like to thank Michelle for answering the bazillion questions for our claims, and appreciate her jumping in since Hillary wasn't able to join us today. So appreciate my staff as well being on the call, and we look forward to hearing from the association and your members if we need any assistance through our provider relations specialists.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll join up again next month for the call. And then any individuals who are wanting to join the Amerigroup call, we will end this recording, and I'll leave the Zoom up, but be stepping away until 11:30 when that call starts. So thanks everyone for joining us, and have a good rest of your week.
Thank you.
Thank you.